with us online as well. Thank you for being with us on behalf of the elders, deacons, and the saints. As we said before, we'll say it again, we appreciate your presence. We thank you for your attentiveness and your participation in worship service this morning. And it is our fervent prayer that something will be said today that will cause you to just consider your soul. Consider your soul. We think about life. We have been reminded vividly, not only here in this congregation, about the frailty of life. Many have been ill. We've lost loved ones. Please keep the families in prayer that have most recently lost loved ones. We will share with you the information as it relates to Lisa and Tasha's mom and dad, the Fultons, and just keep Sister Jules in your prayer. We funeralized her dad on this past Friday. Keep the family of Sister Richards in your prayers. So many, the Aldridge family and the loss of his brother, our family and the loss of our stepsister, and the oldest daughter of Brother Robert Pettaway. The list in our bulletin, we had to condense it to fit everything in there. Life is short. On yesterday, many paid their, you had tributes all across the world, as we said, remembering 9/11, the lives that were lost on September 11th. And today in worship, we focus on the one who gave his life on the cross, knowing that physically we will not live forever, but eternally we can. Let me say that again. Our comfort, our focus, our encouragement, our motivation is that there is an opportunity for us to live forever with God, but we have to follow his conditions, his stipulations. And we think about faith, what faith means and believing in God. As you think about belief in God, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. And so as we look to scriptures today, brothers, if you could, just run over there to Romans 15 and 4 for me. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. We're going to jump right into our lesson today. We have a busy schedule today with our brothers' meeting and our brothers' luncheon, you know, as well. But we want to just make sure that as we go through life and as we find comfort, as we seek to be hopeful for things, let's take a look at the word of God. Romans chapter 15, brethren, and the verses number 4. What does the Bible say?
For whatsoever things were written aforetime.
See, there were things written before time. There were things, people that came before us, as documented in the Holy Scriptures. For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written.
Were written for our learning.
Were written for our learning.
That we. Through patience and comfort of the Scriptures.
That we, the New Testament church, through the patience, the endurance, and the what?
Comfort.
Comfort. Read.
Of the Scriptures.
Of the Scriptures.
Might have hope.
Might have hope. Are you hopeful this morning? Amen means truly it is so. Are you hopeful this morning? And again, if you don't have the, if we don't at least have the mindset to say, I can. I think there was a, growing up, Brother Lenny, there was a, I forgot, it was, you know, I think the little, something, the little train that could or something like that. I think I can. I think I can. So early on in life, kids, many of us, something y'all, somebody going to remind me at the door, was it a tugboat, was it a train, or it was something. But whatever it was, the message of the story was, you know, you come, I think I can. I think I can. If you are already in the Lord's house, a member of the Lord's church, and you're saying, I don't know, where is your faith? See, faith is not, I think I can. Faith is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can. Amen, saints. I can do all things through Christ. It's not because of me. It's not because of you. It's because of him. I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengtheneth me. Teach your kids that. Don't you wake up talking about, well, I hope, I wish you luck. Put a rabbit's foot in your pocket. Put a horseshoe in your garage. You may have that in there, but I tell you what, I just trust God if it be the Lord's will. So we want to add to our faith. So let's jump into it today. Our lesson text is read by that deep-voiced brother, B.J. Nelson. Second Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Why did I start with that, you know, again, talking about faith and trust and belief in God? We got to come in knowing we can, but we got to add to our faith. This is part, what, 8 of our, part 7, rather, of our series. add to your faith, the Bible says, virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Here's your big three. Our big three today are very simple: inward, upward, and outward. Inward, upward, and outward. Now, as you go, as you study business, as you study leadership, as you study theology, these three are critical, because what it's known as, if you will, one of the things I noted was it's directional growth. You show me somebody that is struggling on the inside, and I'll show you what's, and guess what comes out of them? You show me somebody struggling on the inside with confidence, with jealousy, with envy, and guess what comes out? They're not thinking about heaven. If you think about heaven, you're going to say, God can help me. So inward, upward, and outward. I don't want to do it for time's sake, but if I turn on these, if I hit the switch on these lamps on this stage, they're connected to a power source, not just inside this building, but externally. And externally, it is wired and structured to emit. So when I turn this on, because it's connected, a light goes out. Y'all with me so far? Inward, you got to work. Everything grows from the inside out. You will never have somebody, watch this. I won't say never, but it would be very odd for someone who's focused on growing, focused on Christ, and doing what he or she needs to do, to sit here and criticize somebody else. Because that doesn't help them grow. But you show me somebody that's struggling on the inside, they will find something wrong with everything and everybody. But see, Jesus taught this too. They don't, can't even see themselves. They can see the little mote that's in your eye, the little speck, the little piece of lint. Look at that. Green jacket. If you said it, I'll be at the back door for your apology. Or whatever we're going to talk about. Little lint on the side. Who do you think he is? The little lint, but you can't see the lumber coming out of your eye. So this inward, upward, and outward focus as we continue to add. And when we look at these graces adding to our faith, remember, adding means working together. If someone is focused on their health and wellness physically, the same thing applies spiritually. You're going to look at your diet, what you eat. You're going to look at your activity, what you do. Amen. Health and wellness. You can sit here and say, I'm going to the gym, but after the gym, I'm going to get that buy one, get one free at Dunkin' Donuts. It just doesn't work together. You come out sweating and, you know, I got your little outfit on, everything. Yeah, give me that, give me two dozen Glaze. See you at the gym tomorrow. Something's got to give. So we can't seek to grow spiritually and have a poor diet of gossip and envy and hatred. It doesn't work together. As they say in technology, Brother Jordan, there's something known as the handshake, plug and play. If you can't get that electronic handshake, it ain't working right. And so it is now as we talk about fellowship. So the big three, directional growth. Put that in your notes now. The big three, inward, upward, outward. And so now let's talk about inward growth. And this inward growth were really those first graces we talked about adding to our faith. The faith itself, we build upon our personal faith. Look at the INGs here, because this is constantly. We don't stop growing. We got to build on our personal faith. We strive for excellence, that virtue. We add to our personal belief, our confidence in God. I know I can, not I think I can, not I might do. I'm going to try in 2021. Because if we're getting close to December, it'd be the Lord's will. And what will people say? Y'all pray for me. I want to do better in 2022. How about just doing better today? Amen. We're good at that ceremonial stuff. We're going to have a watch night service so we can pray that we can do better. Stop all this. How about today? Just do better and insert your own name. Gail Nelson, do better today. This moment. So we build upon that faith. We add to our faith. We strive for excellence. We've talked about this. This is all review. We increase our knowledge by investigating, seeking to know more about God, studying our Bible, Thank you all for being in Bible study regularly. Have your kids in Bible study regularly. Why is that important? I got to say this, parents. You know, we got one more left in. Well, we got them in school. Well, you know, one's graduating from college. One's going to graduate, God willing, in 2022. Well, two in college. I'm sorry. I get them mixed up. And then we got one still in high school. It is our expectation as parents. Chantel and I expect all our kids to be in class. Amen. At the respective colleges. If they were to call and say, no, I didn't go to class today, we would have a little discussion. But we want our kids in Bible study as well. Parents, you're planting seeds right now. You make sure your kids are up, they're dressed, you feed them, you do all this prep for school. Amen, walls and lights. When we come to Bible school, you want your kids knowing this book, because when homeboy comes walking by, we'll call him homegirl, comes walking by, they need to have some of this. Not some of it, a whole lot of this. I've seen it time after time after time. Something in business known as case studies, Brother Ferreras. And you got a case study, that means something went really well or something went really wrong. Rich Carlton case study on customer service. We are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. That's their case study on customer service. Walt Disney case study on customer service. But there's also case studies, Enron, on theft. People stealing stuff. And what I've seen in the Lord's church are case study after case study. God knows I won't mention any names. Those who've been here, those who've been at every congregation where Rick and I have been. Kids grow up, no Bible class, but yet they're getting 100 perfect attendance in school. If that's your child, God bless them, but let's do something here. And parents, I'll say this to all of you, and brothers are going to talk about it today. We're about to set up Zoom Bible classes, not only having somebody here in person, we can get the camera set up, we'll do whatever we need to do. But our kids need to be in Bible class. Your kids need to be in Bible class. Amen. They're going to have one in that uniform tomorrow. I'm telling you. It may be inconvenient on a Sunday, but you're going to build that faith. You're striving for excellence. Teach your kids to do that today. Increase your knowledge. They got to be where the knowledge is being taught. Amen. But we need to do this, because some of y'all may need to do this with what I just said. Control the passions, desires of the flesh. Because we got to check ourselves. Speak for yourself, brother. No, we got to check all of us. The flesh is a dangerous thing. All of us have sinned. Amen. Romans 3, verse 23. So when we talk about that temperance, adding to our faith, that virtue, that knowledge, the temperance, controlling the passions, desires of the flesh, then we add to that temperance, that self-control, we add that patience, that we talked about a couple weeks back. We got to be able to persevere, have the fortitude, suffer, or bear the trials and tribulations with a positive attitude. All of these, watch this now, your big three, all of these are inward. We got three. I've already dealt with the first one. All of these are inward. I got to add to my faith. What do I believe? I strive for excellence. I want to be more knowledgeable. I want to do it more accurately. Amen, saints. I need to control my. I can't look back and say, my brother Liddell that I love dearly, and say, you know what, let me go. I can help my brother. I can pray for my brother, but I need to control my own passions and desires. Y'all pray for me as I pray for you. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. If what may get you tempted may not have any impact on me. But all of us are tempted. When we're drawn away, the Bible says in James chapter 1, we're drawn away from our own lust. And so this is all inward. And I hope we can all put this puzzle piece together a little bit as we seek to control our own desires and passions. Then I can deal with the trials and tribulations of life. These are all inward. So once I work on that, then I can look up. Because what we talked about last week was add to this patience, godliness. Because see, if I have all that internal stuff, at least ing, keep working on it, then I remind myself why I do all of it. And it's interesting. You know, obviously, I heard it's football season. Pray for me. Pray for me. We'll come back to that later on. But Sister Kilby, brothers and sisters, I see these young men and even young ladies that are shooting baskets or scoring touchdowns. They score. What do they do? Lindsay, they're doing all this. Thanking God, I guess, for the ability, the talent. Nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But these outward show. We're talking about as Christians, we know what we believe. We know God is our Savior. Amen. We know the plan of salvation. So as we give thanks to God, godliness, as we talked about last week, that word is pious, P-I-O-U-S, pious, which is defined as genuine, devout, religious attitude toward God. So you got to be careful with that term religion. See, religion can mean you just do something kind of, you go through the motions. He washes his car religiously every Friday. He goes to the gym religiously. So that means a continuous, repetitive pattern of behavior. So we as children of God, religion is not a bad word. God knows it's not a bad word. But we don't want to just be religious, because some of us are Sunday morning, get it off the hip hop, put it on the gospel. It's Sunday. Now, that in and of itself is not a bad. You can listen to whatever you want to listen to. It's called, consecration. You get your mind right. So that in and of itself is not a bad thing, but if all you do is just go through the motions, you're doing it religiously, but yet your heart is not focused. So again, inward before we go upward. So as we think about the Word of God today, as we live down here, as we go through life, as we bear, as we strive for excellence, as we go through those trials and tribulations, brothers and sisters, we got to always be mindful of the reason I have to forgive this sister, forgive this brother, is you. See where I'm pointing? It's God. Because, and I've done this, God knows I've done it. When I think it's all about me, or all about the situation, all about what he did, what she did, then my vision is skewed. I'm no longer looking at God. I'm looking at myself. Has anybody ever experienced that? Maybe you're just asking for a friend today. So our focus today, and our focus on adding to our faith, we've gone through all the inward. Last week we talked about godliness. On Wednesday, rather, we talked about godliness. So now, what do we add to godliness? And here we go. It gives us the last two in 2 Peter chapter 1 are focused on outward. Inward, upward, and then outward. And those last two are brotherly kindness and love. This light cannot emit unless there are some things working on the inside and it is connected to the source of the power. Let me say that one more time. This light, this will do nothing. I can go back here and turn it on. It can look the part. And sometimes, and it's funny how Jesus said, on the outside you guys look beautiful, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. We can't just go through the motion, saints. I hope this series will cause all of us to just grow and develop. And so the Bible lets us know in 2 Peter chapter 1, brethren, 2 Peter chapter 1, turn your Bibles, 2 Peter, the first chapter. We'll look at verse number, we already read 5 through 7, just give me verse 7. Let's lock in on that. 2 Peter chapter 1, and the verse is number 7. What does the Bible say?
And to godliness, brotherly kindness.
And to godliness, to that pious attitude, that reverent, genuine, religious attitude that's focused on the Almighty God, focusing upward because we know who we are inwardly. We have focused on ourselves, our faith in God, our striving for excellence. I want to know about God. I will control, do my best to keep my passions and desires in check. I endure the trials and tribulations, and that patience and to patience godliness. And to godliness, Brother Lenny, go ahead.
And to brotherly kindness, charity.
And to brotherly kindness, charity. So we're going to add to that. We're going to focus on just one today. We do one a week. To brotherly kindness, or every lesson, if you will. To the addition of brotherly kindness and love. These are focused on how we act, here it is, toward other people. If somebody's rotten on the inside, I can tell you exactly how she's going to act or how he will act toward other people. Let me just look at the clock. Have you all experienced that with some people? Amen. In and out of the church. If it ain't working on the inside, I'll show you exactly. Hey, how you doing, brother? You doing all right? Yeah, man, I'm all right. I'm all right, brother. What happened? I just spoke to you. But if something's going on the inside. And let me just give you all a little tip. And just in case you meet some people one day. If you always remember that everything grows from the inside out, just because if you see you, quote unquote, are having issues with somebody, you first of all just work on you and recognize they're still working on them, that God is still working on them. Because when you look at it from that vantage point, you see this outward attitude and all this other stuff, it's like, okay, something's going on. So let me not go crazy thinking about them. I said, good morning. Did I offend you by saying good morning? Sister, how you doing? That looked all right. Uh-huh, yep. Brother, something's going on the inside. So we need, as Christians, as we mature, you need to be able to recognize that. My brother said in Bible class today, I know the brother he's talking about, great Bible teacher, got mad and left the Lord's church, has not been back, and sadly has died years ago. Died. Let's not go out like that. So add to this patience, brotherly kindness. What is, to add to this godliness rather, brotherly kindness. So what is this brotherly kindness? Let me give an application of it very briefly. On Thursday night at about midnight, I needed some help. I wanted to cry. And the same brother I talked to y'all about, who's here today, showed me some brotherly kindness. We virtually shook hands at midfield. I just went up and tapped him on the back and kept walking to the locker room virtually. Game over. But he was very kind to me, Brother Kareem. I thank God for that. Amen. Because see, we could sit here and talk, see, that hurts. And so I use that basic, that's the last reference I make. I'm moving on to week two. So the one thing I want to share with all of you is this. We have to think about the other person. Because see, brotherly kindness, the Greek word is Philadelphia. It's a compound word. You see it there. Phileo, which means love. And Adelphos, which means brother. So it literally means a love of brothers. So to godly, and just so you were clear, we're going to mention this next week, but there's very specific love in the Greek language. I'll talk about that next week. I won't steal my own thunder there. But this to godliness, to your devout religious attitude, your focus on God as you conduct your day-to-day activities, we add to that brotherly kindness. Let's go to the Bible. Have your Bibles ready. Hebrews chapter 13. Brethren, let's go. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 1. We're going to focus the rest of our time on brotherly kindness. What does it look like? What does the Bible say? Because the Bible is not silent regarding brotherly kindness. As we think about the love of the brethren, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 1. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and the verse is number 1. What does the Bible say?
Let brotherly love continue.
Let brotherly love continue. Stay right there, son, because when I look at verse number 2, and again, and when people read this, they're like, wow, this is about to get real deep. Look at verse 2. Go ahead and read it. Why do we need to love the brethren? Why do we need to act right toward everyone, especially the brethren? Read.
Be not forgetful to entertain strangers.
So don't be forgetful to entertain strangers. So let me break that down in the Greek. Always treat everybody with the utmost respect. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Again, watch this. Have you ever, and I experience this, I still struggle with this. Pray for me. My wife and I could be walking in the park, be doing anything. Everybody walks by. I'm the one. Hi. Hi. You come into my space, and I see you. I'm like, hi, hey, Tiffany. Hey, Linda. People are like, I don't know you. They don't say it, but they give me that look. That was my welcome to South Florida. Elevator. Hey, everybody. Everybody? Right here. Good morning. Look at what the Bible says to us. Let brotherly love continue. Verse 1. Be careful not to be careful. Read verse 2 again.
Be not forgetful.
Be not forgetful. Be mindful. Always be aware. To do what?
Entertain strangers.
To entertain. In other words, we're not talking about entertain, song, and dance. We're talking about you need to have an actual social engagement with someone else, which means I look at my brother. I don't even know you. And for those of you that are looking for a job, have a job, you're always being interviewed. I tell this to kids all the time. I'm on the stage talking. I'm like, I'm looking around. I would hire you. I would hire you. I would absolutely not hire you. I tell people straight up, because right now, as soon as I got up, you're like, eh. I'm not saying that to all of you here. I said, but you don't know who's watching. I was at FIU, spoke to the Black Student Union this past week. The young man was locked in from the very beginning. After the speech, he waited, came over to me. Senior, medical school. Little does he know, he's going to be connected with the chief medical officer at a hospital this week. Direct connection. Much better than sending a resume out. He's going to have lunch with her because this awareness. Be careful, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Why? Here it is.
For thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
Some people have interacted with angels and didn't even know it. Now, some people are like, well, somebody should have told me. What did Jesus say? Why do you feed people? Why do you pray for people? Why do you visit people? Because if you do this, you do it unto me, Jesus said. And so be careful. And so the Bible said, when I first read this, when I was, you know, a little younger, I'm like, some have entertained angels and weren't even aware of it. That's why you treat people right. Lord, have mercy. So let brotherly love continue. In Romans chapter 12. Turn over there with me. Couple verses here. Brotherly love. We know what it is, the love of the brethren. We need to do it because we don't know with whom we are interacting. We don't know with whom we are interacting. There's a gentleman, and Gail used to work for him, and I work with him quite often now, but he, you know, senior executive over at the Miami Heat. He tells a story all the time. He was sitting in the stands at a summer league, NBA. He's sitting there. And he said everybody was tipping on their phone, but he just had a conversation with this gentleman. Long time ago, he was a young man. He said, the man said, you know what? I really appreciate you just taking time to talk to me. Here's my card. He was in his 20s, right out of college. Well, 30 years later, he's an NBA executive, one of the top three with our local basketball team. He says, when you're sitting in the stands, kids, even adults, sometimes you're sitting in the engineers, you're sitting around. I may need to take this with me, engineers. Sometimes we live in a society today where we can be sitting in a place, and this is what people do. Everybody's in the room. He said, I sat there, I talked to this gentleman. He said, it was an older gentleman, didn't look like him. He said he got a phone call from an NBA franchise that next week. We've heard about you. And now he's doing quite well, let's just say that. My point is, brothers and sisters, and to all those listening, as Christians, when we focus on inward, when we focus on upward, and when we start what we emit outwardly, we got to act like we're concerned about people. Sometimes that just speaking to somebody saying, how are you doing today? It can go a long way. Amen? Romans, the 13th chapter. 12th chapter, rather, verse 10. Romans 12 and verse 10. When we talk about brotherly love, when we talk about how we act toward people, let's go ahead and take a look at it. Romans 12 and verse 10, brethren, help me out. Read.
Be kindly affectionate one to another.
Be kindly. Listen to what the Bible's saying. Be kindly, kindly affectionate one to another. Read.
With brotherly love.
With Philadelphia. So you might have entertained an angel, didn't even know about it. Well, what did that look like? Is that like touched by an angel with Della Reese? I don't know. Bible said, unaware. You don't know, but you treat people right. God has spoken through a donkey. God has done all kinds of things. I don't understand it. But one thing I do know, what I do control, is I see somebody, I can speak to them. If somebody smiles at me, I can smile back. Someone says, how are you? I can at least be cordial. We live in a very just nasty, mean, evil, perverse world. Philippians chapter 2. So the Bible says in Romans 12 and 10, Looking back at it now, be kindly affectionate one to another, Lenny, with brotherly love. Why?
In honor.
In honor.
Preferring one another.
Preferring one another. It is an honor to serve. And so as we look at this thing, the Bible's not silent about brotherly love. But if we're going to be true Christians and not hypocrites, two more basic points, two more sections. How will people know? How will people know that we're God's children? And how can we, it's something in science called the litmus test with acid to see if it's acidic or not. So the litmus test, the true test of our genuineness and not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, Brother Charles, as you know, means just you ain't real, you're fake. How long does it take a child to recognize somebody's fake? How long does it take you to recognize somebody's fake? About that long. And so it is in 1 John chapter 4. Follow me as I read. 1 John the 4th chapter. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John the 4th chapter. Very quickly. Beginning at verse number 7. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. If you cannot outwardly show kindness, affection, if you outwardly cannot love the brethren, we're talking Philadelphia here. We're doing another love next week, charity. The Bible says you don't know God. It's religiosity. You got this outward show that I'm a Christian. Don't you see my Bible? Don't you see the cross on my chest? I am a Christian. But I see how you act. And that's the most effective sermon, how you act. That's the most effective lesson. The Bible goes on in 1 John chapter 4. Let's drop down to about verse number 20 for time's sake. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother. Let me pause there. Brothers and sisters, I have seen enmity, hostility in the Lord's church. Brother Lindsay, you know what I'm talking about. Brother Rick, you know what I'm talking about. We cannot have hostility in the Lord's church. Now, if we're in the flesh, so we know things can happen. If things begin to occur, we got to deal with it. We got to be peaceable. I can't stand her. Y'all better be careful. We all need to be careful. The Bible says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Lord have mercy. And the Bible says, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, Philadelphia. He who loveth God, Philadelphia. You're going to focus on faith in God inwardly and adding to your faith? You're going to look up and focus on why you live the way you live? Why you carry yourself the way you carry yourself, but you can't emit Philadelphia, you are a liar. What does that mean? That means you have to be considerate of your brethren. How's our brother doing? How's our sister doing? This is the love of family, spiritual family. We're talking about this. This is Philadelphia, being there for one another. But also, when you talk about Philadelphia, love includes discipline. If a brother ain't doing right, you got to say, brother, you know, you're wrong. Amen. And so as we wrap this up, Jesus made it plain on how the world will know. Brethren, John chapter 13. God made it plain on how people will know that we are children of God. John the 13th chapter. John chapter 13, beginning at verse number 34. How will the world know that we are God's people? John 13, beginning at verse 34. Listen to the Bible. Read.
A new commandment I give unto you.
Listen to Jesus. A new commandment I give unto you.
That ye love one another.
There it is again. Why the Bible talking about all this love? Because it's a behavior. It is a learned behavior. It is an expectation. A new commandment I give unto you, read, that ye love one another.
As I have loved you.
As I have loved you.
That ye also. Love one another.
Philadelphia, read.
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples.
By this. By what? That you love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. If
ye have love one to another.
If ye have love one toward another. So how do we develop this kind of brotherly kindness? Let me just go ahead and close with this. It starts from the inside out. It starts from the inside out. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter chapter 1, as we think about how God, what God has done for us, and how he has not only sacrificed his son for us. Let's go to, if you want to learn how to develop more brotherly kindness, I ask you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. Purification is a cleansing. Purification is a cleansing. I ran some water in the sink this morning. I noticed it was slowly going out, so I got to clear that drain. So if you're slow to forgive, you're slow to tell the truth, you're slow to serve, but you're quick to do anything you want to do, something's got to be cleared up. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. Berlini, read.
Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren.
There it is. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Brothers and sisters, when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we purified our soul. But if we don't add to our faith, then we can just be stagnant. We fail to grow. We fail to mature. The Bible says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto what? See, when it deals with, once we have obeyed the gospel, we add to our faith, then we can do what? Unto unfeigned. You know what unfeigned means? Sincere. Genuine love of the brethren. So Philadelphia is a direct result of spiritual growth. Let me say it again. Philadelphia is a direct result of spiritual growth. So if you show me somebody who struggles in just showing any kind of love, any kind of support, any kind of help, they are still they're still in elementary school spiritually. Amen. The truth may hurt, but it's the truth. We purify our souls unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you do what?
Ye love one another.
You love one another.
With a pure heart fervently.
With a pure heart fervently. We got to keep working on this. In order to keep the fire burning, you got to make sure you got enough coals in the fire. You got to keep this fire burning. And what keeps us going? The hope of heaven, the love of Christ. What did the Bible say? Faith, hope, and charity. This is all that we have left. And the greatest of these is charity. We're going to close our series next week with charity. But I wanted to submit this to you today. Do we need to be taught about brotherly kindness, saints? Do we know that we need to serve God? Do we need to be reminded? Of course we need to be reminded, but I want to just let Paul tell us exactly, because when Paul wrote to the saints of God at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and beginning at about verse 9, brothers, turn over there if you can, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse number 9. And so as we wrap this up today, I want to just share with you all that we have an obligation to the Almighty God. God has given us the wherewithal. God has given us the ability to just be his children. But brothers and sisters, please don't let anybody steal your joy. Don't let anybody cause you to stumble to the point where you have forgotten from whence we first came. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and beginning at verse number 9. See, Paul writing to the saints of God, engineers, Paul writing to the saints, he lets them know that when it comes to Philadelphia, do I need to remind you? Read 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 9. What does the Bible say? But as touching brotherly love.
Ye need not that I write unto you.
Paul says, I don't need to write unto you about Philadelphia. Come on.
For ye yourselves are taught of God.
For you are taught of God. Ye yourselves are taught of God.
To love one another.
So pause right there. Just say amen, and just to be clear. If you understand that in order to make it to heaven, you got to love somebody. We got to love one another. Amen, if you believe that. All right, that's about 95% of you. That's pretty good. Up from 5%. So Paul is saying, do I need to remind us, and I'm going to include everybody, In order to make it to heaven, we have to love one another. So then here's the question. Don't answer this out loud. Then why is it so hard? We say things like, I know. I know. See, listen to us. I know I need to forgive, but it's just hard. Okay. That's the flesh. That's inward. That's a lack of internal growth. When you start things about, I know what I need to do, but, that means you have knowledge, but you lack some of those Christian graces that cause you to act. If your worst enemy, don't answer this out loud, good God. Hanging on a cliff, hands are up. You see, all you see are their fingers. Help me, help me. And you walk up. They did you wrong all your life. And they're hanging on that cliff. So what you going to say now? You good? Let me put my foot right here. You good? Ah! If we find enjoyment in hurting others, the problem's right here. Paul says to the Church of Christ at Thessalonica, and brothers and sisters, we all need some help in this area. Amen. As touching brotherly love, as touching Philadelphia, ye need not that I write unto you. Why do I got to write on you and say, love one another, brothers? For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Give me verse 10. Here it is.
And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren.
And indeed you do it toward all the brethren. He said, in other words, you are doing this. So saints, let's keep loving one another. One of the things that Brother Lindsay says all the time, Brother Rick says all the time, we talk about it. Thank God for such a peaceable congregation. Thank God for that. We thank God for each and every one of you. But you got to work at keeping peace. And you that, and the Bible says, indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. Come on.
But we beseech you, brethren.
We plead with you, brethren.
That ye increase more and more.
That you do what?
Increase more and more.
More and more. As we close out today, and as the song leader prepares to come up here and close us in a song, please understand, the Bible says, brethren, you're doing it. Miami Gardens, we're doing it, but may we increase more and more. That is what the Bible is telling us to do. Why do we need to increase more and more? Because God gave heaven's best. While we were yet in our sins, Romans 5 and 8, Christ died for us, and God gave us a plan. His grace was extended to us. We didn't deserve it in the first place. That's love. His mercy, we don't get what we deserve. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. We sing that song, your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. And so if you're here this day, for all those that are joining us online and for all that are here presently, we have to add to that religious, reverent attitude of godliness. We got to then emit. Shine our light. What comes out of us is based on what's in us. May we get rid of all the toxicity in us so that we can shine brightly and bless somebody along the way. Not everyone's going to listen and obey the gospel, sadly, but may we be the type of person that can show Philadelphia brotherly love, kindly, affectionately, because God loved us with a different kind of love, an unconditional love that we're going to close with next week. As a matter of fact, close with it on Wednesday. What does that unconditional love allow us to do to be saved? Hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe with all your heart. Be willing to repent. Change your mind. Recognize, you know what, the problem was me. In order for somebody to be saved, we got to admit that. I'm the problem, not God. That's why God doesn't come into our heart. God, you stay right where you are because you've done it all. I need to come to you. I believe the gospel with all my heart after hearing it. Change my mind, repent of my sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, and upon that confession, we're baptized, immersed in water for the remission of our sins. And upon that confession, when our sins are washed away in the watery grave of baptism, we are added to the body of the Church of Christ. We rise up to walk, to live in a brand new way of life, adding to our faith. So if you're here today, we hope, trust, and pray that you want to be faithful until death, but you got to get into Christ first. a song of invitation has been selected. The battle belongs to the Lord. So you may be struggling with some battles today. Trust God. If you are online, submit your prayer request in the chat right now so we don't miss any of it. Submit it right now. A song has been selected. Let's keep adding to our faith. Thank God for Philadelphia brotherly kindness. As we together stand, as we together sing, won't you come?